temptation, promiscuity, marriage, homosexuality. These are some of the issues addressed in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Sexual Morality in a Christless World. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org or find out more by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Learn the truth about sexual morality from a reasoned, Christian perspective with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Sexual Morality in a Christless World.
What I think Mike Pence brings to the table is he's, I think he's measured, I think he's experienced, I think he shores up a conservative base that is important. I think that he's a complementary to Donald Trump as far as personality.
That's Reince Priebus, chairman of the Republican National Committee, talking about Donald Trump's choice for vice presidential running mate, Indiana Governor Mike Pence. Now, the question naturally occurs, what does Mike Pence do for Donald Trump? That's why running mates are chosen, right? The other question might be asked, and that is, what might Donald Trump do for, maybe not in a positive sense, a man like Mike Pence, who seems to tick all the boxes for conservative approach to politics and to public policy, while Donald Trump sometimes ticks them and sometimes doesn't. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, July the 15th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Mark Hemingway, senior writer for the Weekly Standard, will be our guest to talk about Donald Trump's vice presidential pick, Governor Mike Pence of Indiana. Then Terry Matting will be our guest. We're going to talk about media terms for clergy, and even the term clergy is a little problematic. You see it misused, abused all the time. Pastors who are called priests or priests who are called pastors, or recently, what was it, a Muslim cleric called an evangelist. How does that work out? We'll see where Terry found it and what he thinks about it a little bit later. Then Pastor Chris Roseborough joins us in Hour 2 of Issues Etc. This Week in Pop American Christianity, two subjects. We're going to talk about Donald Trump's spiritual advisor, Paula White, and where she comes from theologically, and megachurch pastor Perry Noble. You've heard his name probably because he's that influential in the seeker-driven movement. He's been removed from his congregation. We'll find out why and what it means with Pastor Chris Roseborough. We'll round everything off on this Friday afternoon with Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'll play four soundbites for you. And your part of the game is to call and vote 1-877-623-MY-IE or vote via email. We get those right here in real time. Talk back at issuesetc.org. You can vote via Twitter at issuesetc or at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in the last half hour of the program. Joining us to talk about Donald Trump's vice presidential pick, Mike Pence of Indiana, Mark Hemingway. He's a regular guest, senior writer for the Weekly Standard. Mark, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Always glad to be back.
First of all, let's talk about what Pence brings to the Trump campaign in terms of strengths and weaknesses.
Well, as far as strengths goes, you guys played a clip of Reince Priebus, the RNC chairman, sort of describing him, and I think that that was mostly on target. I mean, what Pence brings to the ticket is that he looks and sounds, and his career trajectory has been that of a very traditional Republican. And he also, is a social conservative, ostensibly. And so he, in a lot of ways, if you're Donald Trump and you're this, you know, crazy non-traditional guy who just joined the Republican Party and you're trying to secure the base, on paper, it looks a lot like Pence is a guy that can round out the ticket and reassure a lot of Republicans that it's okay to vote for Trump. He's not too far off the Republican reservation. Pence's big weakness is that his appearance and, professed claim to be a traditional Republican was pretty sorely tested last year. Pence has been both an unpopular governor in Indiana after serving in Congress, and he also was at the center of the big religious liberty battle in Indiana last year, where Indiana tried to pass a Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which is just a state version of wildly popular federal legislation that was passed in the 90s with broad bipartisan support. And RFRAs have kind of come into fire lately because gay rights advocates don't want any religious freedom protections existing so that they can further press their agenda. And when Indiana passed their RFRA law, and again, RFRA shouldn't have been that controversial. There are 21 states right now that have existing RFRAs. Indiana passed their law. They immediately got under fire nationally. Corporations like Apple and eBay, even though they do business in countries like Saudi Arabia and Indonesia where they, you know, behead gays, you know, threatened to boycott Indiana and all these, you know, they tried to turn Indiana into an example. And within a week, Pence basically folded and gutted Indiana's RFRA law. And that was a real defining moment for a lot of evangelicals and social conservatives and people that care about religious liberty. So, you know, it's kind of a loaded pick among certain demographics of Republicans.
Who is Mike Pence?
Well, he's serving Congress. You know, he's the governor of Indiana. I mean, perfectly honest, he was a talk radio host initially to start out his career. You know, he's kind of he's a guy that, you know, likes to talk, basically, not in sort of a Trumpian manner, but, you know, he definitely likes to articulate what he's about. Problem is that often Pence's shtick for a long time was he's this guy that goes out and expresses, you know, that he's more conservative than thou. And then, you know, when it was put to test in Indiana last year, he folded on principle in a way that was rather dramatic. And so I think a lot of people in the last year had to really reevaluate who Mike Pence is because of what he did. And it's kind of amazing because so you had the situation in Indiana where it was, you know, a big national news story, you know, Indiana's discriminating against gays and all this other misrepresentation was going on, and Pence folded. Well, shortly after that, Asa Hutchinson of Arkansas, who's, you know, a Republican governor, but he's not, you know, known for being super conservative, passed a RFRA law in Arkansas with a minimum of fuss. And then since then, we've had Pat McCrory of North Carolina, who's nobody's idea of a, you know, hardcore conservative as well, you know, has really held fast on the transgender bathroom stuff, despite, you know, having intense PR problems and the full weight of the federal government coming down on him. And she's gone back 2 years and asked, you know, who's the most conservative, you know, governor of those three. You know, the knee-jerk reaction would have been to say that it's Mike Pence by a country mile. And now people aren't so sure who Mike Pence is.
National Right to Life just a couple hours ago said that Pence is, quote, an excellent choice for vice president with virtually 100% pro-life record, mm-hmm. A pretty strong record of pushing through pro-life measures in his state. What are your thoughts there?
Well, you know, certainly he's had some successes on that level. I know that, you know, I don't doubt that Pence's personal convictions are, you know, that he's, you know, pro-life and pro-religion, certainly, you know, and maybe even the devout Christian personally, you know. You know, I'm sure he's had some successes, but I don't quite think that the pro-life battles that Pence engaged in tested him nearly as much as, say, the religious liberty battle. I wonder, you know, what he did was so dramatic. I mean, political at a headline today, quoting some evangelical group or whatever, saying they'd never been stabbed in the back by a Republican like Pence did with that. You know, it does make you wonder, you know, what's going to happen with Pence when the rubber meets the road. But, you know, having said that, just a couple of days ago, I met with Jim Banks, who is the Republican nominee for Congress in Indiana's 3rd District that covers Fort Wayne. And, you know, Banks said he was proud to work with Pence on any number of issues, you know, from pro-life stuff to tax cuts in the state and other things like that. But, you know, it's also true that Banks won his primary by making a – because he and his wife filled his seat while he was serving in Afghanistan. His seat as a state senator when he was over in Afghanistan emerged as leaders in Indiana, you know, pushing back against what Pence did with the religious liberty stuff. And at the local level, Pence is not well-liked. A lot of Indiana Republicans are frankly glad to get rid of him, you know, and shuffle him off to the Trump ticket because they were unsure whether or not he was even going to get reelected as governor because he just sort of handled things so badly in the state.
So in a nutshell, from kind of the Trump perspective, because Trump wants to win, he's the winner.
Right.
What does he get out of Mike Pence?
Well, I do think that the net effect of Pence being on the ticket, being a traditional Republican, a guy that can very much articulate, you know, clear Republican principles, that can work with traditional Republican organizations and probably has some ties to, would probably reassure a lot of traditional Republican donors, may even have a net positive effect for Trump to lock down the Republican base. Just the question is it going to be enough? Because, you know, again, we've talked about this multiple times in your program, that one of the biggest pockets of resistance to Trump within the Republican Party is that, you know, weekly churchgoers, people that are devout, granted, they're not as broad a voting group as, you know, the fuzzily defined evangelicals and other religious voters. But there's definitely a pocket of people that, you know, are very opposed to Trump. And they are, in terms of weekly churchgoers and other things, and they're the people that are most likely to be aware of religious liberty concerns and be very upset by Pence's betrayal. The way things are going, I'm not sure that Donald Trump can afford to, you know, sacrifice any part of the Republican coalition. Maybe it will help him with some constituencies that he's struggling with, but it might actually further alienate him with that one narrow pocket of, you know, weekly churchgoers and actually devout religious voters.
Very often, a candidate will choose a running mate from a battleground state in order to secure it. Is Indiana a battleground state?
Not really. I mean, Pence has made it more of one. I mean, there's been some dissatisfaction with Republican leadership in the state after with the way Pence has sort of like handled things badly and made Indiana sort of a national battleground for the culture wars. And I don't think it needed to be. I mean, I think that if Pence had just handled the religious liberty legislation battle better, it wouldn't have turned into that. But now we're seeing a situation where Evan Bayh, longtime Democratic figure in the state, former senator, is jumping back in the race this year to run for Senate because I think that he thinks his chances are better with, you know, Trump's going to suppress turnout and Pence is unpopular. So Democrats have, you know, more opportunities than they have had in Indiana in recent years. So, I don't think Indiana's necessarily going to go Democratic, but, you know, the chances of it doing so are a lot better than the last couple of election cycles, let's say.
Mark Hemingway's senior writer for the Weekly Standard. You can read his latest column, "For Social Conservatives and Fans of Religious Liberty, Pence Pick Will Sting," at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Mark, thanks for your time.
Thanks again.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Terry Mattingly, author of the On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate. He has noticed, and I'm sure you have as well, sometimes when you're reading media coverage of religion, there's an awkwardness about what to call the pastor, the priest, the imam. The terms are confusing, and everyone defines them differently. We'll talk about media terms for clergy with Terry Mattingly right after this.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
Are you interested in Lutheran education? Join the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education at a unique conference, July 19 through 21, 2016, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Speakers include the Reverend Dr. Scott Ashman, Dr. Angus Manouge, Dr. Jean Edward Veith, the Reverend Dr. Thomas Korchak. Visit ccle.org for more information. That's ccle.org.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Garfield, New Jersey. Grace Lutheran, Naples, Florida. St. John's Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Unionville, Michigan. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Beverly Hills, California. Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan. The Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California. St. John's Lutheran, Sayville, New York. Apostles Lutheran, Melrose Park, Illinois. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado. Grace Lutheran, Strasburg, Illinois. And Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.